It took me time to come to this, but now that I've seen it, I've seen how much easier it is to work with clients this way, especially if you're a coach or consultant who really cares about their clients. G'day, I'm Shaz Jones. Welcome to the Bible Hacks podcast. Today, we're talking about time for revelation. Time for revelation. It took me time to come to this. In fact, even this week, I caught myself starting to think the old way, falling back into the old way of thinking. So it does really need time to marinate. It's like trying to cook a roast lamb, you know. If you cook it in the oven and you just let it cook for a long time, not only does the lamb get cooked, but the whole house fills with that gorgeous aroma of that roast lamb. And so some things are much, much better if you give them more time. And giving people the gift of time, particularly clients that you work with, is really beneficial for them, but not just for them, for you as well. So the benefit of giving people time is that you don't enable dysfunction, not even your own. You know, some of us are like, we want to stop dysfunction all the time. We want to be a savior, a rescuer. We want to make things functional. We want to make things work. We want to help people take the next step. That's not always helpful for other people. And certainly, you end up carrying too much of a load that you were never designed to carry, a responsibility that is not yours. So working this way is completely different. And the benefit of that is you don't want to try and modify behavior. You don't want to try and address things that you can't control. What you do want to do is give people the gift of time, specifically to have their own revelation. Don't say, well, it's time you stop thinking about this or doing that. Let's call a meeting and tackle this head on, bring it to a head. Something's got to change, and it's got to change now. That's not how lasting change happens. If you look at the trees, trees never have a Zoom call from their coach or consultant or their boss. Trees grow in their own time. Some do nothing for 5 years. And then all of a sudden, they shoot up and they're fruitful forever after. And so, no two trees are exactly alike in how they grow. Even if they're from the same species, you'll see one will grow and the one next to it will be a bit skinnier and a bit slower. And then the next one might have a bit of a bend and be, you know, leaning into the breeze a bit more. People need to grow in their own way and in their own time. And people have to take time to come to things. If you have clients who want to complain or make excuses or blame someone or something, if you have clients that keep on, you know, questioning or procrastinating, let them allow them to complain, allow them to blame, allow them to procrastinate or whatever they need to do, allow them to work through their trauma, work through their anxiety issues or their budget issues or whatever. Allow them to ask lots of questions. There's a story of Jesus and a woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8 in the Bible. And it says that the accusers kept on questioning him. Now, he'd done nothing wrong at this point. He wasn't involved in this issue. And he, like a good coach, he had taken a step back and didn't take responsibility for being the answer to all their questions. One version says they kept at him, badgering him. He was under this sustained questioning, but he didn't provide the answers that they were seeking answers to. And I think it's really important to see that even the savior of the world didn't act like he was their personal savior under their personal agenda. He knew that he wasn't the solution in terms of the questions that they were asking. And it's important for you to know that you are not the solution. The revelation is the solution. If you are the solution, you're going to take on responsibility that you weren't designed for, and you're going to take on workload that you can't sustain, especially when you start working with lots of clients. You don't even want to be the solution, trust me. But revelation can take time. So be the one who gives people the gift of time. That's what grace can look like. But there are things in this passage of scripture in John chapter 8, there are things that you can do to help others discover the solution for themselves. I call them revelation triggers. I've got four revelation triggers. There's another story in the Bible, and the prophet Elijah has a servant, and the servant can see all of the things that are against them, but he can't see anything that's for them. And the prophet just prays and says, open his eyes that he may see. Now, it wasn't because he was blind. He could already see. In fact, he could probably see more clearly than lots of people exactly what was coming against them. He was very perceptive, but only in the problem. He didn't have any eyes to see the solution, to see the resources that were available for a solution, to see the things that were for him. And so he needed to see something new, something he was completely unaware of. And to do that, his revelation eyes had to be opened. It's a different kind of sight. The Bible talks about not walking by sight, but by faith. Faith is when you get a revelation, when the hearing of the word comes, you see things differently. So here's my four ways to initiate inspiration for change. I call them my four revelation triggers. Permission is number one. Permission. Jesus said to them when he let them exhaust all their questions, he finally stood up and he said, let him make it permissive, not restrictive. So Jesus could have stood up and said, oi, don't throw stones. Or he could have said to the woman, oi, don't commit adultery. Or he could have said, don't keep asking me questions. He didn't make it restrictive. He made it permissive. Let him, allow him, increase the freedom that your clients feel. Don't try and control people or try and fence them in or make them shrink. Give them permission. Let them feel a liberty. Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or there is freedom. So make sure when you're working with clients that you're giving them permission. You're not trying to take something away from them. So Jesus said, let him. And then the next trigger, I call it identification. He said, let him who is. Make it identity-based, not motivation or behavior-based. So if they change their identity, their motivation and their behavior will follow. If they can see themselves in a different way, then their motivations and their behaviors will also be seen in a different way. And don't assume that you know what their motivations are. You never really know what's going on inside someone's heart or someone's mind. So don't judge motivations. Just say who is, but get them thinking about, get them assessing who they are and who they want to be. So permission is number one trigger, identification number two. Number three is elevation. Jesus said, let him who is without sin. Wow. Show them how insanely great life can be. Create an extreme, perfect, ideal reality. Help them think higher, not work harder. Let them judge for themselves the distance that they are from their higher life. From what could be a possibility and a reality in their own life. Self-judgment achieves a lot more than judging others who you can't control. And so, as a coach, that's what we want to do. We want to bring people to that point where they see for themselves, hey, this life that I'm living now is not serving me at the highest level. I could live at a higher level. I could live a better life. And the fourth trigger, I call it qualification. So Jesus says, let him who is without sin throw the first stone. So you do have to qualify which behavior you are addressing. So Jesus could have said, oi, this obsessive focus on the law, that's got to stop. Or, oi, this mob mentality where all you men get together and accuse one woman, that's not on. So address the behavior, but don't address the behavior itself. Address what is the specific standard that you want them to self-assess. So help them qualify whether the behavior is right for them, for who they are, for who they want to be. Does this behavior seem appropriate now that they can see themselves differently and see things differently? So yes, you do eventually articulate what specific behavior you're addressing. Because otherwise they'll be confused. They're like, is it because we know about the law or is it because we get together with a group of men? You have to say, no, it's about the throwing of stones. But do it last and do it in a way that helps them qualify whether that behavior is appropriate after they've gone through the first three triggers, after they've got permission to be free, after they've got identity at a new level, after they've got a sense of the elevated life that they could be living, then you address what behavior you want them to qualify. Now, that was great for the group. And one by one, it says they came to their senses, basically, from the oldest first. And I find that really interesting because there's lots of things where the older you are, the slower you are. People tend to walk a bit slower when they get older. They tend to speak a bit slower. They tend to think a little bit slower. There was an accusation made of the US president this week that his memory was gone. Took a bit longer for him to recall things, or he didn't recall things at all. So there's a lot of things that older people seem to slow down in, but this was not one. Self-assessment. It seems like the older you are, the wiser you are, and the more you can see, or the quicker you can see, hey, this behavior isn't what I want to be doing. This isn't in line with how I now see myself. And they dropped their stones. They literally dropped their old behaviors. And I've found that this way of working with clients makes it so easy. It's literally just like dropping a stone. It's like so natural. Like gravity is designed to help you. It's just, it drops off you, the old behavior, just very quickly, naturally. intuitively, normatively just drops from you. So the group left, but some people need a private one-on-one. So even if you have a group coaching service that you offer, sometimes the person that hangs around till the end could be someone who's in line for some one-on-one coaching. And so Jesus had a one-on-one with the woman who was caught in adultery. So after the group had left, he says to her, "Where are your accusers?" So again, he's trying to give her a revelation trigger, helping her to see that what she had seen just 5, 10 minutes ago with this group of angry men about to kill her, she could see something new now, that there weren't any accusers now, that she was living in a different reality now. He wanted her to see that no one had the right to judge her. And if she was guilty, it was only because everyone else was too. So set people free from the accusations of others by working one-on-one with them. But the gift you're giving them is the same as you give to the group, and that is give people the gift of time. And when you do that, you give yourself the gift of not taking on extra responsibility you were never designed to sustain. And you give everyone the gift of not staying in that dysfunction. You're not going to enable it. You're going to address it with revelation triggers. Look, I hope this has helped. If it has, share the podcast with a friend. Put it on your socials or send a message or an email and let other people know, hey, Bible has solutions. Revelation comes from the Bible. That's what we want to be constantly doing, is giving you hacks from the Bible that you can practically apply in your life and your business today. I'm Shaz Jones. Thanks for joining us. If you want to join the community, you can go to fb.me/BibleHacks or facebook.com/BibleHacks and join other entrepreneurs and speakers from around the world. Thank you.